Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So, hey, everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question, why song makes you hungry for something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the book of Genesis, and we'll be continuing today with part two of The Lord Will Provide. So let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 22, verse 7, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Remember the words ransom and redemption. These words speak of liberty from captivity or imprisonment or impending death. A ransom is paid. Redemption is secured. You see, the biblical picture, of course, is one of us being held captive by the devil through sin. And so there's the necessity of a ransom. A ransom must be paid. And so he redeemed us with his blood. And that's true. And that's what these words imply, that Jesus paid it all. He paid the ransom. And then Paul says in Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption. And the picture in the New Testament of redemption is very specific, especially to the original recipients of these epistles, because redemption would take place oftentimes in the context of slavery. And there was the possibility that one might purchase a slave for the very purpose of setting them free. So they were redeemed, they were bought out of the slave market, they were purchased out of slavery and given their liberty. So when we read this word redemption in the scriptures, we have to understand it in its original context. But then there's this word propitiation. This is a fascinating word, propitiation. It appears four times in the New Testament. And we read in Romans chapter 3 that Jesus Christ, God has set him forth as a propitiation by his blood. Now, this word propitiation is a word that has a direct relation to the wrath of God, particularly to appeasing that wrath. The wrath of God is not to be seen as the capricious, arbitrary, bad-tempered, and conceited anger which pagans attribute to their gods. Nor is it the sinful, resentful, malicious, infantile anger we find among humans. But of course, we have to think beyond that, because we're talking about a holy God, a righteous God, a just and a perfect God. God's wrath is the holy revulsion of God's being against that which is the contradiction of his holiness. Now, strictly speaking, justification is the judicial act of God whereby those who put faith in Christ are declared righteous in his eyes and free from guilt and punishment. It's a declaration. It's God pronouncing a man righteous. That's the idea. Justification speaks of a change in a man's relation or standing before God. The relationship that God intended, the relationship that originally existed, was disturbed by sin. The relationship was severed. And through justification, God puts those relations right again. It is a change from guilt and condemnation to acquittal and full acceptance. A justification is a forensic idea, conceived in terms of law and viewing God as a judge. And the judge has not only acquitted us, but he has also fully accepted us back into fellowship with himself. In justification, God declares of penitent believers that they are not and never will be liable to the death their sins deserve, because Jesus Christ, their substitute and sacrifice, tasted death in their place on the cross. Again, it's the picture of substitution. It's the picture of Christ dying so we could be forgiven. So we've been justified. We've been declared righteous. Now, here's something that's very important to understand. You cannot improve one iota on that righteousness. The moment you, by faith, receive Jesus Christ and are justified, declared righteous, you are, from heaven's point of view, as righteous as you will ever be, as righteous as you ever could possibly be. Now, there's another great word, and this is the word adoption. This is the highest privilege that the gospel offers. You see, we're not simply declared righteous, but we're brought into a full family relationship with God. And the implications of adoption are huge. They're glorious. Let me list a few of the implications of adoption. Material provision. God is going to take care of his children. This is something that we can have absolute confidence in because of adoption. Material provision. Secondly, we can depend on instruction. What parent doesn't instruct their children? Of course, again, any good parent does that very thing. And we can expect, because of this relationship, we can expect God to instruct us. So when we come to the Bible, we come to it with expectation, don't we? We come to the Bible fully expecting God to speak to us, fully expecting God to instruct us, fully expecting God to give us insight and understanding and correction if need be, whatever the case might be. And we can do so expectantly. We ought to do that expectantly. That's what you expect in this kind of a relationship between a father and their children. Another implication of adoption is guidance. Again, what parent isn't going to seek to guide their children? I love this part of parenting. To just, you know, be there and to help point them in the right direction. Again, this is something that we can fully expect from our relationship with the Father. He's going to guide our lives. We can expect divine guidance. We can depend on him to guide us. Another implication is protection. And again, of course, a good parent protects. We protect our children. We do our best to watch over them and to make sure they're safe. And we, as God's children, we can depend on his protection. We can trust him that he's with us. And he's going to guard us and he's going to keep us. And I would imagine that there have been many more near misses in our lives than we have ever realized. Maybe someday we'll get to look back and sort of see it, you know, from the other side. And you just think, wow, Lord, you really were protecting me, weren't you? You really were watching out for me. Finally, another grand implication of adoption is communion. Intimacy, close fellowship, to the point of deep friendship. Remember what Jesus said to the apostles? He said, I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I call you friends. Because all things that the Father has made known to me, I have made known to you. And so we have this intimacy with the Lord, where we can commune with him, where we can talk with him, and he responds to us, he speaks to us. And it doesn't matter what the issue is, anything in life that you want to bring to him and discuss with him, we have that amazing privilege. Of course, people outside will look on and think, you guys are nuts. What are you talking to God? I mean, come on, how do you talk to God? Well, it's a reality if you're in a relationship with him. We cry out to him, we speak to him, and he speaks back to us. He speaks to our hearts. What a beautiful thing communion is. It's one of those implications of adoption. To be right with God the judge is a great thing. To be loved and cared for by God the Father is a greater. And that's it. And remember how Jesus, when he prayed, you remember how he would say himself, Abba. He would use that Aramaic term that is the equivalent of Papa to us, or even Daddy. And then Paul tells us that because we've been adopted, that the spirit of adoption has been sent forth into our hearts, so we also cry out, Abba, Father. It's so precious to be able to cry out to the Lord, to be able to bring everything and just lay it out before him, to bring our concerns, our cares, our frustrations, our dislikes, our discouragements. And you know, I do that pretty regularly, actually. And the greatest thing of all is to find how God responds. And they're very precious things, and they're very helpful, very liberating things, taking the burden off of my shoulders. You know, as we're exhorted to do, casting our cares upon him because he cares for us. And I was just thinking how, you know, as I've been crying out to the Lord over some things recently, and how the Lord has just come along and said, now, Brian, you know, here, let's take this thing that you're stressed out about and let me show you how to deal with it. And it's been great. Now, it would be even greater if I would do what he told me to do. Because that's my problem. I kind of keep drifting back into, you know, trying to handle it myself, as we often do. But, you know, if we just really grab hold of, okay, Lord, this is what you told me to do, and this is what I'm going to do, you know, it's so good. It's so liberating. It really sets you free, just knowing, okay, Lord, you're in charge. You're in control. As I was, you know, crying out to the Lord recently, the Lord said to me, you know, if you prayed for them as much as you worry about them and as much as you lecture them, things would happen a lot more quickly in their lives. The Lord really spoke that to me very clearly, because my tendency is to worry, to get frustrated, to lecture, and you know, it doesn't look like any progress is being made, and then I'm discouraged. And the Lord just says, you know, the problem is you're not praying. You need to pray. And how liberating that is. It's like, oh, God, what am I thinking? Of course, that's what I need to do. But what I'm sharing that with you just to simply say, that's the kind of intimacy that we can expect from the Lord because we have this Abba relationship. We can come to Him with that heart that just says, Papa, Daddy. That's what we have through adoption. There are so many things. One more we'll touch on. And again, remember, this is all, keep the connection back to the Lord will provide. These are the things that He's provided. This was what was contained in that prophetic promise that was given. The last thing we'll mention is glorification. Glorification. What does that mean? Well, that's where we're headed. That's where we're going. Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians, he said an amazing thing that is so often passed by. But he said that through the gospel, we have been called to the obtaining of the glory of Jesus Christ. That is astounding. We've been called to share in the glory of Christ. When Christ comes to be glorified among those, we're going to share with Him in that glory. And glorification is where everything is headed. This is where it's all going. Paul put it this way. Jesus Christ will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body. You see, one day we're going to be glorified. And that's, again, connected back to the Lord will provide. This is what He's provided. He's provided redemption. He's provided propitiation. He's provided justification. He has provided adoption, and He will ultimately provide for us glorification. And as John says, beloved, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He appears, we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We're going to be glorified. And Paul, when he writes about this whole great issue of salvation in the 8th chapter of Romans, he says in verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He did also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. And those He predestined, He called. And those He called, He justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. Paul speaks of glorification as though it has already occurred. That's how certain it is. It is that certain. God is going to bring us to glory. He's going to safely lead us right to the shores of heaven. I had one of the most profound, maybe is the word, experiences of my life in ministry. I received a phone call yesterday morning that a friend was right at death's doorstep. I didn't even know this person was ill. And so I immediately made my way down south to see if I could get there in time. And I did. And there I sat with this friend, this man that 26 years ago, I had the privilege of leading him to Christ. He was our first full-fledged adult convert. He was in his late 50s. And he became just one of the dearest, most precious brothers that I've ever known in my life. Just always there with a prayer, always there with a smile, always there with a helping hand. Just truly one of the great children of God. And there he was, lying in his bed, and was able to sit with him, just hold hands, pray for him, read some scriptures to him, sing some hymns, and see him pass into heaven. And you know, it just struck me afterwards just what a privilege it was to have been able to be instrumental in his coming to faith, and then for God to allow me the opportunity to just sort of walk him right to the gate of heaven. It was one of those beautiful moments. Just with full and complete and total confidence that he was entering into glory. One of the ladies that was there, she was one of the hospice workers, and she was, you know, kind of a new age type of a perspective on things, no doubt. When I came in, she was sort of hovering over him, putting off positive vibes, and we quickly, as nicely as we could, just sort of dismissed her. But afterwards, you know, she said, oh, that was so wonderful. And, you know, she just was going on and on. And there were a couple of us there. And we just said, well, you know, what a privilege to be able to lead our friend right to the gate of heaven. That's what we did today. And so Floyd, my good friend Floyd, he's glorified. That's where we're headed. Whom he justified, he also glorified. Jehovah Jireh, God provides. And all of these terms that we've looked at, and we haven't exhausted the list, we could go on, we don't have time. But all of these are just different facets of the one single term, salvation. So you see, when we say, I'm saved, all of these other things are implied in that word. You see how rich salvation is? This is why we just need to keep meditating on the word and keep studying, because all of this richness that's there, it will come out over time. But to close, let me just put it this way. In regard to salvation, we have been saved from and we have been saved to. We have been saved from the guilt of sin. That's justification. We've been saved from the guilt of sin. I'm no longer going to have to bear the punishment for my sins. I am being saved presently from the power of sin. That's sanctification. And there's this process where God is freeing me. He's delivering me. He's liberating me from sin's power over my life. And ultimately, I will be saved from the presence of sin. One day, we will no longer have a sin issue to deal with. The Lord's going to make all things new. So we've been saved from the guilt of sin, the power of sin, the presence of sin. We have been saved to the forgiveness of sin. We have forgiveness. God has wiped the slate clean. And when we go back over and over those same things, oh God, I'm sorry, but we've confessed them years ago, but then we keep going back over, don't waste your time. You've been forgiven. We've been saved to the forgiveness of sins. Secondly, we've been saved to the indwelling presence of the Spirit. You see, now we have that Spirit of adoption within us, crying out, Abba, Father. And we have that power of God in us, giving us victory over sin. And ultimately, I am saved to conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. When he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And all of these great and glorious things are the result, the Lord providing. In the mountain of the Lord, it was provided there on Calvary, and how we thank him for that. Father, thank you, Lord, for so great a salvation. And Lord, help us to just grow in our understanding of all of the implications of what it is to be saved. We thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you willingly came to bring us back to God, that we might have our sins forgiven and be restored to fellowship with you forever.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of Genesis in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with part one of Led by the Lord. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Lord Will Provide. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT0037. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.